stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Matt Polinsky. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Glenn, and welcome to today's WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. My name is Matt Polinsky, and I will be the moderator for this call. This call is being recorded, and within 24 to 48 hours, an MP3 file and presentation will be available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. You may replay it at your convenience. If you have not yet joined the e-meeting, please do so now. An e-meeting URL is available to you from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Today's presenter is Willis Ward. Willis has been a member of the AIM, that's the Application and Integration Middleware, Customer Support and Leadership Team for over 2 years. Over the past 16 years with IBM, he's worked in customer support as well as development and test. In customer support and leadership team, he represents the AIM support organization to ensure consistent use of processes and tools with the various AIM support teams and ultimately provide a consistent support experience for our clients. Today's topic is resolving clients' problems more quickly using IBM Assist On-Site version 2. The webcast will include a PowerPoint presentation. During the presentation, all lines will be muted. After the presentation, I'll ask attendees to answer a few quick questions via e-meeting polling. After that, the lines will be open for a question and answer period. If you're in the meeting, you will see the presentation. If you're unable to access the e-meeting at this time, you may access the presentation from the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site by either clicking the View Presentation link or by going to any IBM.com site and typing the following number, 700-7609. I'll repeat that, 700-7609. You can type that in the search box in the black section at the top of any page on the IBM.com site. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Willis.
Thank you very much, Matt. Well, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you may be. So today, we're going to be talking about a tool that I've been involved with since last fall called IBM Assist on Site. It's a really great tool. It has a lot of great uses to help you, the clients, resolving problems that you may be experiencing with our IBM software products. So what I'm going to go over today, and you see on slide number 2, is the agenda. I'm going to go over what is Assist on Site, or I'll call it AOS, what is required on your end to connect with Assist on Site, how you would actually start Assist on Site, and then what you see once you're connected. Then, you know, one of the things that's very key and important about the product is the security and the encryption part. I know that you all would be really concerned with that. So I'll go over some brief topics on that, as well as go over some frequently asked questions. And then towards the very end of the presentation, there is a picture of how the AOS technology works. So we go into slide number 3. So what is Assist on Site? It's a secure live remote assistance tool. So with this tool, IBM support can see your desktop, and we can actually then go through problem determination and try to determine where your problems may actually reside with the application that you're running. Now, with you, you actually are always in control of the Assist on Site session. You will determine the level of access that is granted to the IBM support person. You can go into a chat-only mode, you can go into view-only mode, or a shared keyboard and mouse control. Now, for the most of the time, it's probably recommended that you do a view-only mode. That way, that will ensure the privacy and security issues. With the view-only mode, you are always going to be in control of what is being shown on the screen. So you will know what is being shown to the IBM support person. But at times, there may be needs for where the IBM support person may want to take control of your system, and so you will be able to change that level of access during that session. Now, with the Assist on Site tool, it actually can speed up problem determination, collect data that you may not have already sent through must-gather documentation, and ultimately, you know, resolving your problem so that you can get back up and running quicker. Now, one thing to let you know that this tool, Assist on Site, is used with Webster products, Rational, Lotus, DB2, and Tivoli products. So it is available for more products than just, you know, with the Webster products. So we go on to slide number 4. So what is required to connect with a system site? So again, this is going to be from your viewpoint of what is required on your end in order to connect. So you need to have some sort of internet connection. Hopefully most of you are with a, you know, direct connection to the internet and not necessarily going through dial-up. With dial-up, it would be extremely slow and probably would not be of great benefit. Now currently with the Assistant Site tool on your machine, you have to be running on a Windows platform. Because basically what will be, there's really no product file actually installed. There was a Java compiled executable that you plug in for your browser. So that's why we have to run it under Windows currently. There are discussions about making this available on non-Window platforms, and that may be around a little bit later this year. Now, of course, you need to have a web browser installed. I've actually tested this out with Internet Explorer and with Mozilla Firefox. Personally, I've never used Netscape Navigator, but I have not heard of any problems specifically with that browser, or any browser for that matter. Now, the key point that you need to be aware of on your end is you need to have access to three different ports. Port 80, which is for the HTTP server, port 443 for the secure socket layer, and then port 8200 for the outbound relay server. Now, in some customer situations and configurations with their network, you probably already have access to 80 and 443. The 8200 may be the one that you don't have set up. So you may want to check on that before you do an assistant site session. Now, the good thing is that if by chance there is something with your configuration of your network that the connection cannot be made, there are log files that can be generated. You can send to the IBM support rep, and they can then try to work through to figure out what those connection issues are to resolve them so that in the future we may be able to then do an assistant site session to then resolve your problem that you're having with the software. Now, it is recommended that you make direct outgoing TCP/IP connections or availability of SOC server or an HTTP proxy. Now, since the product runs on your end on a Windows platform, you know, and the application you're getting support with may not be a Windows product. It may be AIX, maybe Linux, Solaris. It could even be on a ZOS platform. As long as from that Windows machine you have access to the other system, you know, through a telnet session, through some sort of console, an emulator session like PCOM, Personal Communications, Rumba, or other emulator type of tools, you will be able to do the support of that application. Okay, let's go on to slide number 5, please. So basically, how do you start a system site? On your end, the IBM support person will actually give you the information of what you will need to type in to make the connection, which is a uniquely generated session key. And that is only available at that one given time for 5 minutes. So in the presentation, there is a URL that you can go to that will get you started on working with a system site, and your IBM support rep should direct you to that website. And actually, the next couple of slides will show you some of the screenshots of what you will see. So when you get to the website, you will select the appropriate brand for your software product, which will be, again, WebSphere, DB2, Rational, etc. Then on the next screen that you will be in the that will be displayed for you is will be a legal agreement that you will need to just sort of read over, and when you click on the I agree button, that is your agreement to that legal document. Now, the other information that you will need to provide is the session key that will be generated for you by the IBM support person, your customer number. If you by chance don't remember your customer number, just ask your IBM support rep, because they can get that information from the PMR that you are calling in on, or they're working with you on. So, of course, you will need the PMR number, your branch office, the country code information. And, again, the IBM support person can help you with that information. And then, of course, we ask for your customer name. Then when you click on the I agree button after providing that information, you will be shown a web page which will basically indicate that a download will start occurring within 5 to 10 seconds, and or depending on your browser settings, it may actually say you have to click a link to start the download automatically. Now, what will be downloaded is approximately a 500 kilobyte plugin, which is virus-free, of course, and it's called IBM AOS.exe, I believe. Then once that file has been downloaded, you'll be presented another screen where you can then select the level of access that IBM support will have. Now, some key things to be aware of is that the session identifier that generated key is only available for 5 minutes. So if by chance you're having connection issues or you do not try to make the connection within 5 minutes, the IBM support person will have to regenerate that for you. And that code will no longer, the one he gave you before, will no longer be available. Also, when you're presented the screen with what level of access to grant, you only have 40 seconds in order to make that selection. So let's go on to slide number 6, please. So this screen may take a little bit longer to load in just because it's an image, so I'll try to talk about it a little bit more slowly here. So when you click on the one link to take you to the IBM Support Assistant website, this is what you will see. You will see information about the Assistant Site tool, how you can get support, and basically some other frequently asked questions that you may find of use. Now, where I have the red arrow, that is sort of the drop-down box that allows you to pick what software brand you are getting support with. So a WebSphere product, you would select WebSphere, DB2, Tivoli, etc. So, and they're all listed there. So you click the down arrow, select the brand, and then you hit the press on the go button. So now let's go to slide number 7, please. So on this slide here, this is going to be showing you when it just renders. It's actually, again, showing you how it works, and it also has all the legal information there for you. Now, at the very bottom of the screen, when it finishes painting, it will actually have highlighted the area of the screen where you will be providing some additional information. So as you can see there, you have an area to type in your name, your customer number, the PMR number, branch code, and country code, and then, of course, the connection code that is generated by the IBM support person. So, again, at the top of the screen, it does tell you, again, that you will be downloading a 500-kilobyte plugin, and, again, with your permission, we'll be able to view your screen, and, again, if you provide that access, share control of your mouse and keyboard. And one thing to always remember about this tool is that even if you were to give IBM support shared control and access to your keyboard and mouse, you are always in control of your desktop. If you can actually, terminate the session at any time, you can revoke their access level at any time. So we've made this very secure in that way and with you in mind and making sure that, we're doing exactly what is right for you. So after you click on the I agree button, so Matt, let's go to the next screen. On slide number 8, what you're going to see is a screen print of what you will be presented when you want to download the actual plugin. So as you can see here, it says that your download should begin within 5 seconds. And if it doesn't, it gives you a link where you can actually start downloading it. And then it just tells you that when you do download the file, it will be presented with a box, and I recommend that you go ahead and do an open, depending on your browser that you're using, or run, again, if you're doing Firefox, Netscape, or IE, it's going to be a little bit different on how they give you that choice. But you basically want to just do an open or run of the file, because once the connection has been terminated, that file that you've done for the plugin will no longer be a valid file. You can erase it, get rid of it. There's no reason to keep it because every time that you want to make an assistant site connection with IBM support, you actually will need to go through these steps every single time with a uniquely generated key. So if we go on to slide number 9. So once you've click on the, again, you pick the brand, you filled in the information, click on the I agree button, and you've actually downloaded the IBM AOS.exe file. Provided the connection is actually made, you will actually see this little pop-up window show on your screen. And this is where you can actually see that it has a countdown from 40 seconds down to zero. And this is where you will, again, be able to choose chat, shared view, which, again, is the one that we recommend that you do initially, and then shared control. Now, if by chance you decide that you do not want to allow IBM support to see your Windows desktop, you can click on the refuse button at that point, and it will terminate the session. So if you were to click on shared view, let's go ahead and go on to the next screen, slide number 10. Basically, what you are going to see when you're connected with Assist on Site is nothing different than what you normally see when you run your Windows desktop. The only difference is that in the very bottom of your icon tray, wherever you may have that located, you will see a flashing red and green Assist on Site icon. Now, if by chance you provided IBM support with a shared keyboard and mouse control, and they actually have selected an option to take that control, then if they were to use some highlighting tools, like you can draw with a green or a blue sort of pen or a yellow highlighter, you will see that information show up on your screen. But for the most part, you're not going to see anything different on your end. So we go on to slide number 11. Once the connection is actually made, what I'm showing you here is that there will be a little window called IBM Assist on Site, and it'll say Session in Progress. Now, that window will stay in the forefront of your desktop, so you can do one of two things at that point. You can just move it all the way down to the bottom of your window so it's sort of out of the way, or you can click on Close Window, and that will just close that particular window out. It will not drop the Assist on Site session. Now, again, if you want to keep that, you know, window sort of up and just out of the way, again, it does give you another opportunity to end the session if you so think it's necessary to do that. Okay, let's go on to slide number 12, please. Now, on the previous slide, I told you that you will see the flashing red and green Assist on Site icon. And what I've highlighted there with the red arrow is the red state of the sort of circle with an exclamation point. And that is the Assist on Site icon. So again, it will be flashing red and green on your desktop to know that your connection has been made. Now, the good thing is that, you know, if you right mouse click on that icon, you will have some options available to you. And again, you can actually terminate the session. You can open the chat window to chat with the client, with the IBM support person. When you have the chat window open, you can actually change the access level as well. If by chance a file has been FTP'd to you, of course, with your permission, you can actually open up the file transfer directory to look at that file. And there are a couple of other things there available as well. So let's go on to slide number 13, please. This screen here is just a normal, it's just a www IBM website, and what it's showing you is some of the highlighting tools that are available when we use this product. You can, like I indicated before, you have the blue or the green pen information. So when I created the screenshot, I just sort of used my mouse, drew some stuff on the screen just to show you what it may look like. And then also there is the highlighting option, which I indicated as well, where you can highlight information. So what's good about this is, you know, say that, you know, the IBM support person is looking at a log file of yours or some configuration settings or, you know, and they actually see something. They can actually, even in a view-only mode, they can use these tools to highlight the information that they may want to point out to you. So the reason why I talk about this particular tool is because I don't want you all to, you know, suddenly get, you know, scared that, you know, something's happening to your computer when you see these blue or green or yellow things appearing on your screen. Nothing is actually happening on your computer, and it just wanted to warn you that, you know, that tool is available. Okay, if we go on to slide number 14. Before I explain about this slide, there are some other tools available within the Assist on Site application. Again, I've alluded to the fact that you have the capability of transferring files back and forth between IBM and your computer there. There's also copying and pasting of information from clipboards. So if there's like a long configuration string that you want to provide to the IBMer to look at, you can put that in your clipboard, they can pull it off, and the reverse is true as well. If they have, you know, a URL they want you to go look at, instead of you having to type it all in, they can put it into your clipboard, or they can open up a URL and then have it bring up a browser. There's, let's see, if they want to take a picture of the state of your computer or what screen you're looking at, they can do that well for comparison purposes. So there's lots of other flexible tools within the application which will, you know, hopefully help, you know, try to pinpoint what the problem may actually be, and of course ultimately resolve your problem a lot quicker. Now, once you have completed the assist on site session, and you either do the end session from that one little window that was hanging around, or you terminate it through the assist on site icon, or say the IBM rep will terminate it through their console setting, then on your end in your browser, you will actually be presented this next part of the screen, which is the IBM Assist on Site survey request. Now, when you're presented with this, basically you can do a couple of things here. You can click on X on your browser window and close it out and not answer anything. That's your option. You can also answer any or all of these questions. You know, so we're asking you, did the use of this tool help resolve the issue? It may have at this point, or it may have just been, the tool may have been used just to get you to the point where you're going to be resolving it maybe on the next call, or there other information that's identified that needs to be found. So you can select no or not sure. Now you can also answer, did you find this tool to be fast and easy to use? Again, yes, no, or not sure. And there is sort of a marketing question here, as does this, you know, interaction improve your likelihood of purchasing other IBM products? Also, if there are additional comments you want to make, by all means, please do so. This information is stored on our server, and that information is looked at. And I know from a web server perspective, I do indicate what, you know, customer comments are, whether they be positive or negative. Because that's the only way that we can make sure that the tool is of use for you. Okay, let's go on to slide number 15, please. Now, back during the agenda, you know, I mentioned some information about security and encryption. So just wanted to briefly touch on that here. I mean, hopefully you can tell that we've taken a lot of security issues and really built that into the application, because we want to make sure that, you know, one, we're not seeing things that we shouldn't be doing. You know, we're, you know, being very conscious of your data, et cetera. So with Assist on Site, we are using only outbound connections. And that is one reason why we ask that you have to have access to port 8200. Because again, it uses the outbound relays. So at no time are we ever physically on your system. It's all been done through the outbound relays. Also, we are using state-of-the-art 128-bit advanced encryption. Now, what this means is that it prevents intruder access while we're making the assist on site sessions. All the information is encrypted end-to-end, and they're never decrypted in transit by the communication server. And the data that we see from an IBM standpoint can only be viewed with the assist on site software. So no one else can be sort of peeking in through other software or other tools to get to that information. Now, as I indicated before, once a session has been completed, IBM does no longer have access to your computer. Again, even if you were to talk with a support rep, do an assist on site session, and then after you've terminated it, even if you're still talking to the IBM support rep and they go, oh, I should have checked this. So if they want to go check that, you will have to go back through all the same steps you went through initially, and then a new key, encryption key will have to be created, and you'll have to provide that as well. So again, it's another step of security and privacy. Like I said before, the connection code is only valid for 5 minutes, and it has to be regenerated if that 5-minute time period there's no connection made. Again, on that one screen, once a connection has been made, you have 40 seconds to pick which level of access you are providing to IBM support. we go to slide number 16, please. So here are some additional frequently asked questions. Basically, can IBM support look through files on your system without your knowledge? Absolutely not. You know, especially in a view-only mode where you are actually driving the mouse and the keyboard and, you know, and doing what the IBM support person instructs you to look at, there's no way that we can actually see things that you are not seeing. Even in a viewed shared control with the controls and the keyboard and the mouse, you will actually see the mouse moving, and you would actually know if we're clicking on an area that we should not be going to. So, again, there's no way that we can go look at information that you do not want us to. Also, are there any files or folders left on your computer after the session terminates? Technically, no, because we do have, like on Firefox, when you use that browser, it will actually bring up a download box and actually download that file. But again, it's sort of a dead file after you terminate the session, so you can get rid of it. Now with IE, if you do the run or open setting, no file is actually placed on your computer. But so basically the answer is no, and again, the file is virus-free and just a plug-in right now with the browser. And again, like I indicated at the very beginning, we are looking at adding additional platforms for on your end on what will be supported. Okay, slide number 17, please. Now, this picture here, as it's generating, is a view from your perspective of the assistant site technology. It just shows you how everything works within three different ports, you know, the port 80 for the HTTP server, 443 for the secure socket layer, and then the port 8200. Honestly, I'm not a real network technical person, but I do provide this information for you so that you can take a look at it. Okay. Slide number 18, please. So the next slide here is just some additional WebSphere product resources that you may want to to go look at various times. So Matt, that's actually the end of the presentation I had, so I'll hand it back over to you.
Thank you. Star 1 if you would like to ask a question at this time. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, star 1 if you have a question. We'll go first to T. Rob Wyatt with Bank of America.
Hi, this is T. Rob. I was just wondering if, this is the conferencing option that IBM provides. If this doesn't work with our firewall, the bank actually provides us with both WebEx and PictureTalk. Would our IBM tech person be able to join us on those? Are they restricted to just using IBM's product?
I honestly don't know, because I don't know anything about those other applications and tools. I mean, I've heard of WebEx before, probably very similar to what we're using here with this same-time meeting room. I really couldn't say.
If you could send an email to WSEHelp, W is in WebSphere, S is in server, E is in Edward, help@us.ibm.com. We can follow up on that and get your reply.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome,
Rob.
We'll go next to Barbara Jenkins with Bank of America.
Hey, I was wondering how long this tool has been in use.
Okay, Barbara, I first found out about this tool from my division last fall when we started a sort of an early deployment, early adopter program. And it wasn't until sort of early January or end of December of last year, technically, that we really started rolling it out across the various brands. Because
mm-hmm.
I do know that Lotus and Tivoli started rolling it out in December. From a web server perspective, I started doing that in January and finished it at the end of February. And I think the Rational and Lotus brands are, for the most part, they've deployed a system site with their products. They're just, you know, may not be fully deployed with all of their products yet.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
And for the other Bank of America people, this project has been initiated out of the WAS area, and so they are initially looking at this and to do a pilot.
Right, and I do know that there have been some of our Level 2 people here that do support the WAS product that have worked through some connection issues. I don't know exactly which aspect of Bank of America or which site or anything, but I do know that there have been discussions and trying to work through some of those connection issues. The problem that we run into with, with the network situations and connections is that there are so many different configurations, for proxies, SOCs, and what have, and firewalls. If we don't make a connection the first time, definitely work with IBM support rep to get that log information and then, send it to them so that we can try to resolve it so that hopefully the next time we can make that connection and, make it work for you.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
We'll go next to Dave Smith with John Deere.
I have two questions. One being, do I understand correctly, I'll ask my network people to open port 8200 for output only, not input?
That is correct. Again, I'm not a network person, so I don't know about opening up ports specifically for, input or output type of thing. What I do know is that with the Assistance Site tool, we do use outbound relays. We're never actually coming in inbound on your system. So if I understand what your question is and the way it works, you're correct. You only have to ask for the outbound.
Okay. And then also, is there going to be a site that I could test my connection ability prior to having to try to use it on a real call?
I don't know of one right now, but Matt had provided you the email which to send a question to, which is what, WSEHelp?
Yep, that's WSEHelp@us.ibm.com.
That's a very good question. I definitely would, I don't know, I've never heard that been asked before, but that would be a great thing that we could, if we can get that set up, that would probably help out with a lot of the connection issues. So I like that suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you.
And once again, star one if you do have a question at this time. We'll go next to Venkata Sadanini with IBM.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, actually I joined in the middle of this one. This is the first time I joined. I'm new to IBM. So can you explain briefly what is this exactly? So I joined middle of this one and I didn't understand.
I'll take that question. Actually, this presentation is actually being recorded, so everything that's transpired prior to you joining, you will actually be able to replay that.
Okay.
And if you use the same mechanism in which you joined the call on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site, if you click on that View Presentation link, currently there right now is just the presentation file itself.
Okay.
But within 24 to 48 hours, we will be posting the recorded audio portion of this session there as an MP3 file.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you, Glenn. So at this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope that the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. And again, please remember that there will be a replay available on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site within the next day or two. We hope that you'll join us for future presentations, which will also be announced on this site. Thanks again for joining us, and thank you, Willis, for presenting today.
Thank you, everyone. That does conclude today's conference. You may now disconnect.